Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Leif Sorby back as my guest. Join us for a conversation about Leif's band Tempest, their live shows for 2022, and hear two songs from their new album, Going Home. Welcome, Leif.
Hey, Margot. Nice to be back on the air with you again.
I know. I love having you on my show.
Well,
you are definitely one of my favorite and most fun guests. And I don't know. You add so much fun to life.
And you're definitely one of my most relaxed radio interviews. So, we're certainly excited about 2020 so far, professionally speaking. You know, with a new album coming out,
Leif.
And so what?
2022. You said 2020. It's like we all.
I'm stuck in 2020. I need to unhook from those two dark years of no performing. Because
I know. It's like we just sort of skipped them, you know.
I know. Now we're ready to start in front of our audience again. And March is a great month for Celtic music, obviously, and having a new album and a fresh new lineup and a great new attitude for 2022. And we got 20 shows coming up, a 20-city tour starting in California and ending in Ohio with a nice loop around the East Coast. So this should be fun.
Oh, wow. You know, I remember going to see you guys play. I wish I had – I want to come again. So anyway, to see you play because – actually,
I thought you were 86
fun.
From our venues. What happened?
What?
No, I'm just joking with you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's just so much fun. You are a born performer, and you and the band, it's like so much fun to watch you guys and then to watch everybody getting up and dancing and having fun. And I mean, it's like this joy fest.
Well, you know, I think our little place in the world is to raise people's spirit with our music and elevate ourselves in the process. That's kind of how I look at that exchange between, you know, us the artist and the audience. And when it clicks, it's the most fun you can have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joyful experience that you can take with you. And I realized that, you know, the last couple of years, not having that outlet was almost like a dark hole. You know, it's like I didn't realize to what extent I was dependent on having that exchange, you know, as a performer,
mm-hmm.
you know. But now I think it's in the past. I think we're going to have a lot smoother sailing, so to speak. You know, the pandemic is definitely in the rear view mirror, and there's new energy, you know, from the band and from the audience. And I'm excited to see where it's going to take us this year and the years to come.
Yeah, I'm excited for you too. You know, just...
Well, good. You should come out to one of our shows and join our party, Margot. I mean, I know. We're going to be basically in your backyard coming up here in a few days.
I know. Yeah, you're going to be in Dublin on the 12th and 13th. That's not that far away from us. And then also you're going to be in Healdsburg on the 17th, and then down in near Santa Cruz on Soquel. Is that how you say it? On the 17th.
Yeah, Soquel. It's just, you know, it's Santa Cruz County. We're going to be there for our big CD release party and St. Patrick's Day celebration on the 17th. You know, so we're doing two shows that day: one up in Northern California and one down in Santa Cruz area. And then and then on the 19th is my annual birthday show that I have been doing every year in Cedar Creek, which is a little town north of Sacramento, a little historic town with a great theater called the Cedar Creek Theater. And that's on the 19th. And as soon as we're packing up from that gig, we're heading out to the Midwest with our first show coming up in Iowa. No, it's in, yeah, Iowa, in Williamsburg,
yeah.
Iowa. And then from there, we're going to Missouri and Indiana and New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, blah, 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 blah. I'm making a nice big loop, ending with a bunch of shows in Ohio, Cleveland, Dayton, etc. And then we're heading home again in the middle of April. If people want to find more information, tempestmusic.com has the tour schedule with all the info people would need. So we're looking forward to see old friends, and we're looking forward to make new friends. And it's going to be exciting to see how they like the new music, because we're coming out of this two years of non-performing, but there's been a lot of creativity. You know, we put a whole new record together of new material, and we're excited to see how the audience will take to the songs live, because usually we would go out and tour with new material first, then we'll get together with Robert and go into the studio and record them after we sort of have shaped and formed them with our audience touring, you know, and getting it, you know, tested on stage, so to speak. But this time we couldn't do that, you know, because we couldn't play live like nobody really could, you know. So we arranged and wrote and worked creatively on the material and then recorded it in the studio. And now we're just trying to learn what we did in the studio so we can play it for people, you know what I mean? It's the other way around now, you know. But there's something to be said about it. It's so fresh, and it's like a different way of giving birth to your songs, you know. If you give birth on stage, you can get instant feedback from the audience. But you give birth in the studio, the feedback will come later, so to speak. So it's a new experience for us in many, many ways. But we just played a couple of shows. We did a show in Fresno, and then we played a big theater in Vallejo in Northern California called the Empress Theater, and we had a chance to test the songs. And so far, the audience are really, really enjoying it. They're taking the new material in, and the feedback has been tremendous so far.
Well, I believe it because I've heard the songs. And
you got an advance copy, didn't you? You know, we have been selling lots of pre-orders through our mailing list. So, you know, a lot of our diehard fans have heard the album. We've sent out a few hundred in mail orders, you know, prior to the release date. You know, and. And people are writing back and ordering more and requesting the songs, and it's been a lot of fun. So
that's exciting.
It's good. Yeah, it's good to have that energy. You know, that's why we're doing it. It's a labor of love. You know, I mean, nobody's getting rich here. You know what I mean?
You know, the thing I call my show Live Your Music, and I, because of the fact that Wayne Dyer always said, "Don't die with your music still in you," and I. Our friend Robert had said to me one time, he goes, "Margo, what do Wayne Dyer and Tony Robbins do that you don't like?" And I thought at first nothing, because I like to look for what I like. And then I thought, you know, Wayne says don't a lot. And then he says don't die with your music still in you. And I thought, how can I say it without the don't and without the die? And that's how it got named that. But what it really means, it means live your heart's desires. Live what you feel you're here on earth to do. And that's exactly what you're doing. Your music is, and you're performing. It's not just the songs and not just the recordings in the studio, which are both amazing, but it's both. And then that connection that you're able to make with the people that love to come and see your shows. And like you said, the old friends and new friends, both. You are a connector, and you connect people with your music, and you connect them with happiness and joy and laughter and fun. So, you know, it's and then I love also how you show pictures on Facebook of when you're in the studio and of the different shows, but the ones of recording the songs down at Soundtech Studios with Robert Berry, those were so cool. And then I also loved the video that you guys created of the experience of going to Soundtech Studios and what it's like being there and seeing Robert at recording the things and seeing the various members of your band performing parts of it. And whoever did the video did a great job. I just, you know, I love it, and I'll send a link out
well,
for that
you.
As well.
Thank you so much, Margo. I
yeah.
appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we like to, you know, share that experience with people, and that gives people a little bit of a taste of what's to come. You know, when you let them in, it's like you let them peek into the studio a little bit and look at the creative process, and hopefully that'll inspire them to want to get the album when it comes out, you know, and they almost feel like they are somewhat familiar with you and the material you're giving them, and just kind of, for some people, that deepens the experience a little bit, and it certainly does for me personally, because I look at recordings basically as you're recording a period of time in your life. That's how I look at it, you know. It's,
yeah, you are,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I can go back and think about, you know, when I think about years past, I always connect them to, yeah, that was the year we released this album. Well, that was the year we toured behind that album, you know. So for
mm-hmm.
me, it's like that, you know. And a lot of people these days record at home, and instead of going to a professional studio, they create their own special studio at home, which is fine, you know, and I'm sure it's really creative. But then it becomes more of an art project, an ongoing project where you can take all the time you want. For
mm-hmm.
us, it's more like we gear up for a few weeks where all we're doing is recording, and we live in that time period, and the recording is a result of that, what we create together in that period. You know what I mean? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's very different than if you sit at home with your computer and work on a song for a year or two before you're happy about it. You know, this is more like, hey, we're going to get the best performance we have in us right now, the way we are at this point in time. It's like you capture that moment, and that's what makes the recording special and makes it come alive to me. You know what I mean? If you have
mm-hmm.
too much time on your hands, you lose that focus. I'm sure you can get a great result, but you know, it's a recording session is a moment in time that you want to capture, as far as I'm concerned, and that's one of the things that Robert and I are good at, you know, like just really go like, okay, this is it. This is our task. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to give 200% and we're going to be, you know, bigger than the sum of our parts. And when you approach that goal, because you never reach it, you just kind of approach it. When you're
right.
hovering around that goal, that's when you can create magic and something that's special, you know?
Oh,
so
I know.
Anyway.
And, you know, Dudley and I have been in Robert's studio with him recording our songs since 2003. Wow. Time flies. But, you know, we've been there to record over 35 songs. I've lost track of how many. And every single experience has been so much fun. And you're right. I mean, there's this focus that Robert gets, and then the collaboration is so much fun as well. But it's like if you're just home alone doing it, it's like you said, it can take forever, and you can keep on re-recording it and re-changing it and messing
yeah.
with
yeah.
it. But, you know, the magic that happens when you get together with someone like Robert, who has so many ideas and yet is willing to and able to bring out what you do and not just turn it into something that he wants. Or
Robert or any good producer, an engineer, and anybody who is active in that role, their job is basically to get the best out of you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that takes, you know what I mean? And he's good at recognizing people's potentials and see how far he can take it, you know what I mean, and get the best possible performance at that moment in time. And that's always a really cool process. And yeah, it's always going to be a little bit hit and miss, and sometimes it can be a little bit of a anxiety because people get, it's like being put under a microscope in so many ways, you know.
You
know, because you hear every little detail, and mm-hmm. people get very self-critical in that situation, you know. Luckily for me, since I've been doing it for so long, I'm very comfortable in that situation. But having said that, I'm more comfortable on stage because you have an audience in front of you, and in the studio you don't. You know, you're performing to the, you know, whoever the engineer and producer is, and the walls around you a lot of times. But we do also, and you mentioned that video I made, and I just made it yesterday, and I know Robert posted it today, and I posted it yesterday as well, which is just a bunch of clips from us working on Going Home, the new album. And just, you know, I did it, you know, in the timeline we recorded the album, so people can get a feeling that, you know, they were there with us. You know, it's just a little 10-minute thing. But one thing I could not do was to show how the recording starts, because I was the one behind the camera, you know what I mean, even if it was just my little iPhone. And the way we start the process is we all record live first. Each song, we do the basic track live, then we start the overdubs and start building the song that way. And that was the part that unfortunately wasn't shown on the video that you referred to, because you know, when you're busy playing, you can't really do anything with mess around with your phone, and you certainly can't ask anybody in the sound booth to do it either. We do try to capture the live performance first, and then overdub from there. You know, so we make sure the rhythm tracks are solid, the bass and drums, and everybody's totally locked in, and it has the feel and the vibe of a live performance, even without an audience, you know, so that when people hear the record, they recognize the live band in the record, even if it's not live, you know. That's a really difficult thing to do, really, you know. It's not easy, because it can get very mechanical when you have you know, all the studio technology at your hands, you know what I mean? You get involved in click tracks and fine-tuning voices, and, you know, pretty soon you lose some of the human spirit, but you want to keep that human spirit there. And the only way you can do that, in my book, anyway, is to start from the live platform, you know, be grounded in the live performance and then take it from there. So, anyway, that's a lot of talk about, recording.
That totally makes sense. And what we've usually done in the past is Dudley usually brings Robert a basic track of the vocals and the guitar. And
you mean a demo
way,
track?
Yeah, yeah. So we have, he knows what we want, what it's been sounding like when we're practicing the song. And then he adds, like you said, the various tracks that re-records the vocals, re-records the guitar, adds bass, adds drums, adds keyboards, et cetera. So, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun to do. It's like painting a picture, you know, and it's great. You know, it's one of the most exciting things you can do, you know, and people do that in many different ways, not just in music, but in all sorts of ways. But I think that music is these days, to me, it just represents life-supporting energy, you know, and that's what we need a lot of right now. We need a lot of life-supporting energy, you know. So music is very important, and can't wait to get out on that stage again with my friends and play for people all over the place and enjoy that experience, you know.
What you said about, say that again, life what?
I just said life-supporting energy. That's what music
life-supporting is. Life-supporting energy. I love that. And it's so true. I mean, that is, oh, my gosh. And then the vibrations of the different songs can uplift you, or if it's a sad song, it can bring you down. But if you're sad already, you can kind of, your vibes can go up if you listen to that one, then you listen to one.
Sad songs can warm your heart. I mean, like people,
yeah.
I mean, and the, you know, you have the blues, but when you sing
right.
the blues, you feel uplifted. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
It's just, you have to use all the human emotions, you know what I mean? And when you do that, that will lift you up, even if part of those human emotions are grief and et cetera, you know?
Right. Oh, I know. It's so important not to suppress any of the emotions, to feel all of them, just not to get stuck in the low ones, hopefully.
No,
but,
no. You got to move through emotions as freely as a young baby or a young child, like kids can do. You know, they never get stuck. You know, and you know
right.
they can go.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I can picture
that. And
I think that's
part of it. You know, you got to be a little bit. You know, when you're open like that, you got to be a little bit innocent, a little bit naive, have a little bit of the child in you when you play music, I think, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to be able to get up there and have fun. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, and it's also very important that you don't take yourself too seriously. Even if you take your music seriously,
mm-hmm.
you should not take yourself too seriously, because if you do, you can go down the wrong path, I think, you know, because you want the energy out to people, you know what I mean? And you don't be afraid of making a fool of yourself, because people like that.
Yeah,
it
makes them feel more okay.
Yeah, there's a bit of honesty in that, you know. So anyway,
makes you look and feel human to them. Yeah, you know, the other thing I wanted to say before I play the first song, though, is that one of the other cool things about the video that you created of being at SoundTech is that I could see all the different people who are in the band playing little bits, you know, having some vignettes of pictures and videos of them at the studio. And so tell us briefly about who's in the band this year, and then I want to play the first song.
Well, in the band, we got our longtime friend and drummer, Adolfo Lazo, who's been there since day one. I met the other band members on our debut show back in October 1988, and he has only missed one gig since then. And we've done at least 3,000 shows together, you know. So
wow.
So he's behind the drums. He's from Havana, Cuba, and our guitar player is pretty new. He joined us a couple of years ago when we had a little bit of a lineup change when the pandemic started as a result
mm-hmm.
of all that, and
mm-hmm.
And that's when Nikolai joined us in I guess that was the beginning of 2020, and.
Mm-hmm.
And the other new guy is Hugh Kelly, and he's from Michigan. And I mentioned Nikolai's from Bulgaria, so
mm-hmm.
we got people from all over the place. Lee's been with us for a while, the fiddle player,
mm-hmm.
Lee Corby Wells. She's from San Francisco, and I don't often meet people that are born and raised in San Francisco. People usually come to San Francisco, you know, but she's a real San Franciscan, and she's great
mm-hmm.
fiddle and lovely vocals and stuff. And she joined us when our last fiddle player, Kathy, had a very unfortunate experience and broke her arm and hasn't been able to play
Ooh.
Professionally, you know, that happened
yeah.
a few years ago. And, But Lee's fabulous, and she put a good mark on this record. She brought in a couple of great songs we're doing, and sharing some lead vocals with me, and as I said, plays some fantastic fiddle. Even dabbled a little bit in the hurdy-gurdy on this recording, you know. So those are the people in the band, and I play different stringed instruments, like on stage mostly double neck electric and acoustic mandolins. But, you know, on this record I've played a little bit of harmonica and some boron, some Irish drum, various things for coloring and stuff like that. And of course, Robert Berry is, you know, he's, I was almost going to say featured, though he's not really featured, because his playing on our records are more coloring than anything, but mm-hmm. his keyboard playing is great on this album, you know. A lot of B3 Hammond organ, some piano, and various keyboard things that he does on the record as well. And Hugh, Lee, and I share, you know, vocal harmonies and things. And yeah, it sounds like a band that's played together for 30 years, though it has new members in it, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. And the video is on YouTube, so people can find it on there as well, right?
Yeah. If I'm talking about video, that was just like a little thing I threw together in 5 minutes. If you really want to see a Tempest video, you want to do the featured song on the album, which is called Jolly Roger, where we actually did a video production, and we're pretty proud of that one.
Yeah, is that one on your YouTube also?
Yeah, that definitely is, and that's on our website and stuff. The one you refer to that I put together yesterday was basically just a compilation of some of the fly on the wall shots we did in the studio.
But they're both interesting because, you know, it shows you the production of the songs and how it was born, like you said, the songs were born. And then the Jolly Roger video is amazing. I had seen that.
That's a real produced video, yeah, and we're pretty proud of that. And a lot of work went into that one, you know. We went down to a magical place in Morgan Hill called Morgan's Cove that we discovered by watching the Disney Channel. And Jeff Goldblum has a show called The World According to Jeff Goldblum. And the only reason I even watched the Disney Channel was because the Beatles Get Back. I had to subscribe to the Disney Channel to watch that whole thing. And it was well worth it. But afterwards I go like, I'm going to unsubscribe to this channel because I don't really watch much TV and there's nothing here that I feel that I'm, excited about. But then I stumbled across that Jeff Goldblum thing, and he's in the backyard of some connoisseurs, you know, that built ships and things and recreated that whole buccaneering era in their own backyard. So we tracked them down and said, look, we watched the show on the Disney Channel. Is there any way we can bring down a camera crew and shoot our song? And I sent them the song, and they responded immediately and said, this is our kind of music. We'll be there. You can come and do whatever you need, and we'll join you in our pirate costume. So they became extras on the set, so to speak, you know. And we spent the better part of a day filming down there and did the song Jolly Roger. Jolly Roger is basically the pirate flag. Not everybody knows that, but that's the skull and crossbone flag. That's the Jolly Roger. And Jolly Roger was waving on the ship as we were just having a lot of fun with cannons and smoke and God knows what happened down there, and it was just, you know, it was a great experience for everybody. And then we went back to Soundtech Studio, and we shot the song live. We played the song live with the camera crew, and then they spent a week or so editing these things together and based on the storyline and the song. And so that's our featured video. That's Tempest Jolly Roger, and you can find that on YouTube. And that was a heck of a lot of fun, and people are giving us great feedback on that one. And it represents this album quite nicely, I think.
I agree. In fact, I've got that song stuck in my head from watching the video.
be careful. That kind of music can do that to you. I wake up with that in my head a lot, and sometimes, most of my thoughts are album lyrics. So you got to be careful not overindulge.
And also to overindulge in the ones you want to wake up hearing
and to sleep
with all night. Wayne Dyer always used to talk about that, be careful what you look at, read, listen to, think about within a 5 minutes or so before you go to bed, because you marinate in it all night.
So, which songs did you pick from the new album?
The first one I picked, and we need to get on with that, don't we? Because we're running out of time. We only have 14 minutes left. The first one I picked is the one for your mom, Yen Raisa. Is that how you say it?
It translates Yen Raisa. It's a Norwegian song, and the title means going home, and that's also the title of the album. And the story behind that song is basically, my wife and I would go back to Norway every year and take my mom up to the family cabin way up in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
where there's no other people, no tourists, just wildlife and primitive living. The cabin itself is an old hunting cabin. And the story goes that my grandfather won it in a poker game. It's from, like, I think it was built in 1910 or 1912, I believe. And I used to go up there as a kid, and I hadn't been there for many years. And then when my dad passed away in 2009, we would go back every summer, take my mom up there. We were there every summer. And then when the pandemic started and 2020 came around, we knew at that point we couldn't travel, So I wrote the song instead. I kind of wrote it for her and our memories up there, And
uh-huh.
it basically deals with the elements and the whole feeling of things and
right.
Animals and weather and togetherness and that sort of thing. And
uh-huh.
and I wrote it in Norwegian so that she could possibly enjoy the song, since we didn't have a chance to take her up there that year.
Right.
But unfortunately, she passed away a few months later in November of 2020. So it became an emotional song to put on the album, and the cabin is pictured on the cover as well. So that's Hjemreise, going home. That's that song, yeah.
I love that it's called Going Home, and I love your story to go with it. So I'm going to play the song now,
even if it's a very subjective song, it's still going home in a big sense too. It's a spiritual thing too, going home, and this album has so much more traditional Scandinavian folk roots than in the past, which is great, being that I was born and raised in Norway, and Lee, our fiddle player, can sing in both Norwegian and Swedish. So,
oh, cool.
So that strengthened the album a lot. And you can hear her on the background vocals on the song as well. So it's going home, both leaving the cabin, going home, as well as going home on a lot more sort of unbounded spiritual kind of a journey,
I love that, a spiritual journey. Okay, we need to play it, though, because I want to be able to play the other song, too.
I love
everything you're saying. I don't want you to stop talking. But I'm going to go ahead and play the song, and then we'll talk some more after. And it's about 3.5 minutes long. So
all righty.
Here we go. All right.
I had a chance to listen myself, and what gets to me is like how good of a band it is. I mean, the musicians are great, you know. Lee and Nikolai, Hugh and Adolfo, they're doing such a great job on all these songs. You know, I'm very fortunate to have great musicians with me, I think.
That's true. And, you know, Dudley just brought in a post-it note to me while we were listening. I was listening to the end of the song, and he says, "The harmonies are truly beautiful!" Exclamation point.
And oh, good.
Sounds great. It just sounds really good to him. He loves it too.
That's lovely. Hopefully, there's other listeners out there too that that enjoys the song. You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, singing in a different language, maybe, you know, maybe I should have written the song in English, but
no.
You know, it has to be authentic because of where it all came from, where it all started, you know. So
yeah,
and music is, you know, the language that starts when words stop. So I don't know who first said that, but it rings true, you know. I listen to a lot of songs that are in languages that I don't have a clue about, but just the vibe and the sound of the language gives you the emotions of the song, you know. So that's a good thing, you know. Yeah.
You know, the other song I'm going to play is Shepherd's Daughter, and it's a little over 4 minutes, and we've only got 5 minutes left.
Really quick, Shepherd's Daughter, I wrote that, and the lyrics is based on various versions of The Knight and the Shepherd's Daughter, which is traditional roots. And there's a tune in there from the Shetland Islands, and that's another one of the favorite tracks of various radio stations currently that have gotten the CD. They tend to gravitate towards the song, the Shepherd's Daughter from our fabulous new album, Going Home. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna play it, and then hopefully we'll have a minute to talk about it after. Here we go.
All right. If not.
Sending sheep upon the hill, though a roving plate came riding by and tore him up as well. If you should have your will of me, pray tell to me your name, oh, so when my baby it is born, I might call him the same. Well, some they call me John, he said, and some they call me Jacko. But when I'm in the king's high court, they call me Will of the Night. He mounted on a snow white steed and away from her did ride, oh. She lifted up the petticoat and ran close by his side. She ran and came to the riverside, fell on her belly and swam, oh. And when she came to the other side, she turned her heels and ran. She ran and came to the king's court and boldly fell the ring, oh. And then the king himself, he rose to let her. We'll be right back.
We're going to run out of time. So everybody go to tempestmusic.com. Is that the website?
That's the website, tempestmusic.com. They can mail order the album from there and get our tour schedule.
Yeah. Thank you for being my guest on my show again. I've enjoyed every time you've been on. And looking forward to listening to this album over and over again. It's growing on me. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Margo. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. And thanks for having me again. And we hope to see you out there at one of our live concerts coming up.
I'm going to do my best to get there. Anyway, thank you. Everyone out there, live your music. Bye for now, everyone. Bye, Leaf.
Bye-bye.
Bye.